3 days. If your prayer is not answered, you go back and you stay for 7 days. If your prayer is not answered, you go back and you stay for 14 days. And guess what? They get a lot of prayers answered. I said, they get a lot of prayers answered. Most folks I know pray about 15 minutes, and if it's not answered, they start whining. I'm sorry I said that. Amen. Well, not really. But that's just kind of the way it goes, isn't it? A lot of folks, as soon as they don't get an instant answer, then God didn't hear my prayer. You know, sometimes God just wants you to spend a little time with Him. I think He gets tired of being used like a spare tire. Take Him out in a crisis and use Him and put Him back. And don't talk to Him again until you have some trouble. Yeah, it's not much of a relationship. I don't know of anybody here that would put up with a relationship like that for very long. Amen. He wants somebody that loves Him and will spend some time with Him. And when we do, my, the good things that happen. Amen. Praise God. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I'm going to preach today from the book of 1 Kings. I want to take a thought from the 7th chapter, from the 21st verse. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21. Good to see you here today. Thank you for being here in this service. I know this is Labor Day weekend. A lot of folks are getting away from labor. Trying to do a last fling, but I'm glad you're here. We're glad to have our friends from Midland here today. Amen. And I appreciate these ladies. We had a great time the last few days. We've had a lot of good laughs and a lot of good times, and so appreciate them being here with us today. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 21. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar, and he called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar, and he called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work. So was the work of the pillars finished. Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about the pillars at the portal. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Now, we're talking about pillars, not pillows. Some folks get this a little confused. Amen. Some people call pillows pillars. And it's not something you sleep on. It's something you build on. Amen. It's something that holds up. It's something that really supports. Amen. A pillar is something that delivers the weight of the structure down to the foundation of the earth. And it's that part that's in between. It's weight-bearing. It must be strong. Amen. And I want to talk a little bit about the pillars at the portal. We're talking here about the temple that Solomon built. You remember that in Israel, David one day walked out of his beautiful house, and he looked and he saw where God dwelled, and where he assumed God dwelled, and he saw an old ragged skin tent made out of badger skins. And when he saw that, his heart smote him, and David said, God, let me build you a house. And God must have chuckled and said, David, how are you going to build me a house? He said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain me. But I appreciate the sentiment, David. Thank you for the want to. Amen. And then he told him, he said, well, your son is going to build me a house. And David said, well, if I can't build it, I'll just pay for it. Boy, may his tribe increase. Hallelujah. Amen. If I can't build it, he didn't get mad at God. He didn't get upset with God. But he said, I'm going to do what I can then while I'm here. And he started getting all of the materials together. And he started getting the money together. I may not build it, I will never get to see it, but I'm going to support it. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for folks that get behind the program. And folks that don't say, well, you know, I may not always get my way, but I'm going to be part of the program anyway. Let's get this thing done. We're about building the kingdom today. And so David had the right attitude. Solomon, right after he was king, within 4 years of his kingship. And all of that time, he was getting it all together. He got together with kings, and he started searching the world. Now, Solomon, my friend, was a builder. He knew how to build stuff. Solomon was one of those people that knew how to make things look good. Amen. He had an eye for quality. He knew how to get the right people to do the right thing. And he began to do that. He started getting it all together. Amen. It took 7.5 years to build the temple. But he did it all. He had it all cut. And before they just moved it in, there was not the sound of a hammer. Everything was pre-constructed. And they moved it on site, and they just put it together like a puzzle. Amen. It was made out of beautiful stone, and inside it was overlaid with beautiful gold. It was the most elaborate and most astounding structure perhaps that's ever been built. I've never been inside of a building that was golden, have you? Gold on the ceiling, gold on the walls, gold on the floor. Amen. My, what a place it must have been. But at the top of the steps, on each side, Solomon had a pillar that was put there. And very interestingly, he gave them names. The pillars were constructed by a man that had a very special gift. His name was Hiram, and they hired him to come and build just the pillars of the temple. He came he got, I don't know where he got that much bronze or brass, whichever one you want to interpret that as being. But he got the materials together. He built two columns that were 27 feet tall. They were 18 feet around. And on top of that was a capital that was 7.5 feet tall, that was ornately decorated with flowers and with beautiful things. Must have been quite a structure. And he got the pillars and he put them in place. Hallelujah. And he gave them names. The one on the right he called Joachim. And the one on the left he called Boaz. And so there were two pillars. And those pillars today have some significance that we want to talk to about for just a moment. The word, the Hebrew word Joachim, means to establish. To establish. One of the main things that God wants to do is to establish you. To get you where you can put down some roots. To get you to a place where you can withstand whatever comes against you. That's what God is interested in. God is not interested in the ebb and the flow and the change. But God wants some things that are stable. And when God builds something, he makes it stable. God made a covenant with Noah, and he said it's an everlasting covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham, and God said it's an everlasting covenant. God made a covenant with David, and he said it's an everlasting covenant. God made a covenant with Moses and with Israel. He said it's an everlasting covenant. And God made a covenant with you and me, and he said it's an everlasting covenant. Amen. God is not a vacillating God. God doesn't change with the wind and with the weather and with his feelings and with emotions. But when God said something, he said it's established. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Didn't he say that? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God likes for things that stand. God builds things that last. Amen. Praise God. That's the way he is. That's just the kind of God that he is. And I'm telling you today, God didn't put you in the church that you could just kind of be wishy-washy and willy-nilly Amen. And have a backbone like a spaghetti. Amen. But God wants us to be established. God wants things that are firm. God wants things that are established. I said it before and I'll say it again. God didn't. That saying about when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on didn't come from the Bible. God didn't build His church on a rope. God built His church on a rock. He built it on something that'll stand. Amen. He made something firm. He said, "He that heareth My words and doeth them is like a man that builds his house upon a rock." And He said, "And when the wind blows and the rain falls and the lightning crashes," He said, "when it's all over and the storm has passed by, it'll still be standing." Amen. God wants to give you the kind of life that when it's all over, you'll still be standing. Amen. This old world doesn't have very much good building material in it as far as a life's concerned. Amen. But I'm offering you today a foundation, a life that will account for something, a life that will mean something, a life that will have depth, a life that will have purpose. And when it's lived, it'll be established. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate people that are established. People that you can lean on. People that you can count on. People that you can depend on. Isn't that right? Amen. And so God said, one of the things I want in my house is I want things to be established. I want things that'll stand. Amen. I appreciate God and His message today that's forever the same. Doesn't change. Amen. Praise God, the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. He's always the same. You can count on Him. You can depend on Him. Amen. Praise what He did for others, He can do for you. What He did then, He can do now. He hasn't lost His power. He's established. Praise God. So the Lord said, I want one of the pillars at the portal of my house. I want it to be strength. I want it to be established. Amen. Praise God. Gentlemen, if you'd look up here, please, and pay attention, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And so the Lord establishes things. It's established. The second pillar was called Boaz. The word Boaz means strength. Amen. I've always liked strength my whole life. Since I was a little boy, I always wanted to be strong. Amen. My brothers, when I was a little bitty tight, they used to make me do push-ups until I couldn't do another one. Amen. I couldn't do another one now. No, not really. But they'd make me do push-ups, and I'd just do it and grit my teeth until my muscles wouldn't do another one. Yeah, because I wanted to be strong. Anything they didn't want to do, all they had to do was call me a sissy, and I'd get it done. Amen. I've always appreciated strength, and I still appreciate strength today. Amen. And I appreciate God that is strong. As a matter of fact, one of the names of God is El. It means simply the strong one. Hallelujah. The strong one. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And that's one of the titles of God, because God is strong. You can depend on Him. Hallelujah. David said, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. God is somebody that you can depend on. Amen. When a hurricane's coming in, you can depend on the Lord. Amen. Whenever the storms struck in Indonesia, the tsunami of several years ago, there was a little lady that was, she was a cook at the Bible college, and she knew the storm was coming and she couldn't get home. And she began to pray. She said, God, you know that little house is all that I've got. I don't have anything else in this world. And I just ask you, God, that you would protect my little property. Amen. And the storm came in and everything around that little house was washed away. But when Christine got down to where she could see her little house again, it was still standing there. Amen. It wasn't because the house was strong. It wasn't because it was a good structure. It was because the God that is strong placed a hand over that little house and said, this is going to stand because of my child, Christine. I'm going to watch out for her today. Amen. There's a God that is strong in your behalf. Amen. When you can't do it, when you can't make it, when you're not strong, He can be strong for you. Amen. The strongest people that I know have weaknesses. Amen. You may wear leather and ride a big motorcycle and have a tattoo that says Mom. Amen. Praise God. You may be able to have breath that'll stop an elephant at 50 yards. You may be strong, friend. You may be real strong. You may be so strong people tremble everywhere that you go, and everybody's afraid of you. But on the inside, there's weaknesses. There are things that people just cannot conquer. There are habits that get a hold of people that with everything that's in them, they can't break those chains. They just can't stop it. They don't want to do the things they do, but they can't help themselves. But thank God there's somebody that's strong. There's somebody that has the strength to break the shackles that we cannot break and do the things that we cannot do. God spoke to a man one time by the name of Saul. The Bible said that Paul prayed 3 times. He said, God, if it be possible, he said, I've got this weakness. I want you to take it away from me. And he prayed again, and finally, God answered his prayer. And he said to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And here it is. He said, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. That's why God leaves weakness in people's lives, so He can reveal His strength to you, and He receives the glory. That you cannot successfully live life all by yourself. But you need the strength and the grace of God in certain areas of your life, and you know that you can't make it alone. Amen. Praise God. God leaves some weaknesses just so that He can reveal His strength. Praise God. Some things that you can't do by yourself. Amen. God's grace, He said, is sufficient. Amen. Grace is divine enablement. It's when God wraps His strength around your weakness, and your weakness becomes His strength. Praise God. Amen. We said it one time as if God takes His strength and He takes your weakness and He weaves your weakness through the leaks like a chain. Amen. And your weakness takes on strength. Amen. And your weakness takes on God's grace. And when you could easily be broken because you have no strength, you take on God's strength because He wraps His strength around your weakness until they become one. That's Boaz. Hallelujah. That's Boaz. Amen. That's when you become strong and unbreakable, and you can make it because God takes the weakness. Amen. God doesn't expect you to do it by yourself, folks. Do you hear what I'm saying today? God does not want you to do it by yourself. We get the idea that we've got to live for God, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We don't have the strength to do it. We don't have the ability to do it. We don't have the goodness and the morality to do it. It takes God to live this life. He knows that. And that's why He takes your strength or your weakness. Amen. He wraps it in grace and it becomes strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He always leaves some room for Himself to work. He always leaves some weakness so that he can wrap strength around it, so that he can reveal his power and his glory. And God will get the glory. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So when you come to the portal, the entry to the house of God, there's two things he has for you. One is he wants you to know that there's a foundation. There's something that's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. It's always going to be the same. Praise God. I appreciated Brother Charles Mahaney. One thing that Brother Mahaney said of the many good things. Brother Mahaney was a man that came from, well, the gutter of life, to become one of our greatest evangelists. He grew up in a home that was horrible. He grew up in a home where people were killed and murdered, and violence on every hand, and drugs were the norm. It was a horrible, horrible situation. He was found, as a matter of fact, a Pentecostal preacher. God sent him to jail to witness to Brother Mahaney in prison, and he went and talked to him. He was in for the third strike. It was all over. He was going to be in there the rest of his life. But God kept sending the preacher back, and he kept telling him. And Brother Mahaney said, quite a sense of humor, he said, Preacher, I don't know how to pray. And the preacher said, well, just talk to God like your best friend. He said, if I do, it'd strike me dead. Amen. But God knew Brother Haney and Mahaney, and he knew his heart, and he worked with him. Finally, the preacher was able to get him out of prison, and he came to church. You know how some services are, Pentecostal service, and he went, and this big old tough guy, so tough, hard, mean. But he got in the presence of God, and boy, that service cranked up. And people started shouting and having a wonderful time. And something fear got a hold of him. He said, I'm getting out of here. These people are crazy. So he got out, and he headed down the aisle. And this little old lady, you know, the little with the Pentecostal knot, was down there shouting, amen, right in the middle of the aisle. And he'd go to the right, and she had her eyes closed, and she'd go over to the right. And he'd move left, and she'd move over to the left, just shouting and talking in tongues. And he'd try to go, and she'd do it again. And he couldn't get out. He was captivated by this little lady with her eyes closed, just shouting and worshiping God. Amen. And so he couldn't get away, so finally sit down. There wasn't any way to escape but to get to the front. And so finally he hit the altar. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, changed his life. He became a great man of God. But I appreciated this one thing that he said so very much. He said that, wrote an article years ago when we had a lot of superstars that were running the circuit talking about how wonderful it was that God saved them, and I was very thankful for that, but they almost made it sound like God was getting a real good deal. Amen. A lot of those people didn't make it, but Brother Haney made it. I'll tell you why. Because here's what he said. He said, I want to thank the United Pentecostal Church. He said that you kept the fires burning for somebody like me. You kept the fires burning for somebody like me. There was a place that I could go to. You don't have this glorious testimony that everybody loves to hear about how God brought them out of so much stuff. He said, all you did was just be faithful and keep the fires burning so that when it got time, I could come and there was a place for me to be saved. And I'm telling you today, folks, your life might not be flashy. And you may not be one of those people that their name's known everywhere, and you may not be an orator, and you may not be a singer, and you may look at yourself and wonder, well, what talents do I have? One of the most faithful things, one of the greatest talents you'll ever have is simple faithfulness, that you're established. Hey, man, I'm telling you today from the heart of a pastor, the thing a pastor appreciates more than anything else is faithfulness. Just people that's just going to be there. And you can count on them. They're going to be there. Amen. And they're going to do what they can. Whatever it is, they're going to do what they can. Just faithfulness. They're just there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, that's what it takes to make a house of God, folks. You have to have that faithfulness. You have to be established. You have to have some folks that's just going to simply be there. Amen. They're just going to be there. Praise God. They won't get a lot of notice and won't get a lot of attention. People won't talk about them and they won't mention their name, but they're just going to be there. Amen. Thank God. We need Joaquin in the church. Amen. We need faithfulness in the church. We need to be established in the church. And then we need strength in the church. Got to have that. Can't do without it. Amen. That's why we come here, isn't it, folks? We come here sometimes. We're so weak. We're so weary. We're so tired. We're so torn. We're so stressed. Amen. This world is just like the weight of it's upon our shoulders. But somewhere in the middle of the worship service, that all just begins to lift from us. Hallelujah, and praises just begin to go forth. Those same old songs that we sing, but somehow so there's some power in some of that, and some strength begins to get into you. Amen. And you go out of this place feeling strong. I can make it. I'm going to make it. Amen. Amen. That's why the devil will fight you tooth and toenail to keep you out of this place. He'll tell you every lie he can tell you. He'll put every obstacle in your path he can put in your path because there's strength here. And he doesn't want you strong. He wants you weak. Amen. So that he can drive you around by every wind of doctrine. Amen. But thank God there's strength in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God, there's strength in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a lady that had heard a sermon preached from the book of Psalms about the Lord covering you with his wings and hiding you beneath his feathers. And it was a beautiful sermon. It was very encouraging to her. And she was thinking about that the next day after work, and it was dark, and she was walking to her car, and she heard footsteps behind her. And so she sped up, and the footsteps sped up, and she slowed down, and the footsteps slowed down. And she knew that somebody was coming after her. She looked around. There wasn't anybody around. And she was very afraid. There was a big old man, and he was coming her direction. And she knew that she was in trouble. And so she just walked as fast as she could, and the man began to run. And he ran up to where she was, and he reached out to her. And all of a sudden, that verse, she was trying to remember it so hard. She couldn't remember the verse, but she knew that the Lord was there to protect her. She just knew it, but she couldn't remember the verse. And so she just quoted what she knew, and she whirled around and screamed in his face. And she said, "Feathers, feathers, 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 feathers!" And he took off like a madman. It's all she could remember, but it was enough. But it was enough. Hey, God gives you strength in some strange ways. But God gives you strength when you need it. God gives you strength when you need it. Amen. Praise God gives you strength when you need it. He always does. He said, "My grace is sufficient." Everybody say that. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Praise God. We need Boaz here. We need Joaquin. Praise God. We need both of them at the door of the church. Praise God. So that's what's going to hold it together. That's what's going to hold it up. Faithfulness and strength. Faithfulness and grace. And that's what's going to hold this thing together. That's what's going to hold your life together. That's what's going to enable you to make it until Jesus comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Could I say today that you're not in this thing just because you happen to be raised Pentecostal, or you're not in this because you just stumbled into a church somewhere? If you're in the church, Jesus Christ put you in the church. I said, if you're in the church, Jesus put you in the church. He said, "I will build my church." You are his church. He selected you. He chose you. He put you in this place. He established you in this house. Amen. Praise God. This is where you belong. This is where He wants you to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're established today. Be strong. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's strong today. If you feel weak, He's your strength. He's everything that you need. Praise the Lord. Amen. If somebody today, your life doesn't seem to have a foundation, doesn't seem to have a meaning, doesn't seem to have a purpose, amen. Let me invite you to this altar today where you can get a foundation for your life. Amen. You can establish some things today. You can make up your mind. I am going to serve God. Whether anybody else in my family serves God or not, I'm going to serve God. Whether anybody else in this church serves God or not, I'm going to serve God. Somebody needs a foundation here today. Praise God. Somebody needs some strength. You've exhausted your own, and you need some strength today. Let me invite you to come. I think it'd be good if you just, for a few moments of time, we've heard the word of the Lord. Let's respond to it today. And let's give God a moment to work in our lives. Would you come? Let's just come and stand around this altar for a moment. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Let God do a work in your heart right now.